This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Metal Shop here on The Rock. Right now we have a band called Blighted Eye, and they have an album out now called Agonies Bespoke. I think I've played pretty much every song from the record. If not, maybe for a couple of them or something. But I got a promo advance of this, a download. I was like, I'm going to dig in, and I'm going to premiere this before they even debut it. I'm gonna tell kids to get their cassette tapes out, do it old school style. Blighted Eye, welcome to Metal Shop. Tell me what your name is and what you do in Blighted Eye.
Oh, I'm Kyle. I play guitar and I make animal noises.
Nice, yes.
I'm Chris and I play guitar.
I'm John. I play the drums.
I'm Ben. I play bass and do live backup vocals.
Right on. Okay, so let's get the... did I talk to Blighted Eye in the past, or is it...
You talked to Chris and I think.
Okay, yeah. That's right, yeah. So we did kind of like a Zoom thing.
Yep.
So.
The COVID kind of time.
Lockdown, yes. Exactly.
The dark times.
It's nicer to do things in person.
Way nicer.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
So let's get kind of, you know, just get back to the origin story of Blighted Eye. Obviously, you guys know each other. Couple members from Aetherius and you know, other bands here in the Northwest. But how did Blighted Eye start up?
Hounding Creams to start a band. Ben and I were in a band called Sick Hair a long time ago. John was obviously in Funeral Aged. Chris was in Terra Morta, and we'd all played shows together for, you know...
We've known each other for a long time.
Long, long time.
Mm, yeah.
This is basically just Terra Morta 2.0.
Yeah, essentially.
I guess.
Just kind of hounding Chris forever, like, hey, man, we should start a band. Hey, man, we should start a band. And then 2019 rolls around. Hey, dude, you want to start a band? Yes. Let's do it, finally.
Yeah, okay, so this was before the pandemic. This band
kind
started
of. It was like right. It was like towards the end of 2019. I was in a position where I was not in a band.
Sure.
So I was like starting to write my own stuff. And Kyle was the first person that I contacted. And it kind of started from there. And then... as we got closer to recording the EP, I asked John if he wanted to do drums. And then it was after the EP that you came in, right, Ben?
Yeah, it was when we were looking to do you all were looking to do your first show.
Yeah, yeah, which was 2022.
It was a festival out in Montana.
Ooh, that was a cold night.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it was very cold.
So
your first show was in Montana?
Yeah.
Okay. How did that come about?
The guy who was putting it on, Solomon, we had played with some of his bands before with Aetherius, and just good friend from out east, and he was put on a festival, and he really dug Blighted Eye, and I think just randomly we're talking over Messenger one night. I was like, oh yeah, we're trying to find, you know, a place to do like our first show, and he's like, dude, we've got a festival going on. Come out and play. Devil's Illusion's playing. Symbolic's coming out and playing.
That gave us pretty good placement, too, right around sunset.
Yep, third to last. Mm-hmm. And then the generator blew right before our set started, and it went from a nice, like, 70 degrees to 30 or something.
Stand around for 30
for an outdoor
minutes,
festival.
Just letting our hands get cold.
It was awesome.
Trial by fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a fun show,
so
though.
In a lot of ways, it feels like we kind of more started as a band, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Took it more seriously, and then
could actually do stuff.
Yes. Yeah. This album is incredible. You guys have gotten a lot of really positive feedback for this record. It's only been out for a week. Obviously, you probably put out some, you know, gave some people some promo copies and whatnot to kind of get some word out there, some buzz. But I've been seeing people tweeting about it and some awesome feedback. You guys must be really stoked on the way that this is being received and just like... your baby is out there in the world. It's got to be a cool feeling.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, we finished recording for this because I think Ben Ustex last year, right before
Aetherius
went on tour in March.
Wow.
And then, you know, Ben and I were out on tour for a bit. Chris was getting into Alex for mixing and mastering. And we had, I think, at least the first draft mix back in April or May of that year.
So, I mean, May.
Yeah. So we've just been kind of sitting on it for a while. And it's kind of easy to feel like you're, you know, you're in a bubble. You're like, oh yeah, no, this is sick, but oh, is it going to be sick when other people hear
it?
Or are we just in our own heads, in our own world? And, you know, it's been very validating that, you know, the work we put into this and the time we put into it has resonated with so many other people. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's been awesome.
Especially after how long it's been done for us, at least. Yeah. And now finally everybody can hear it and they're all loving it.
We've been teasing it so much.
Yeah.
And it's finally we can finally talk about it in actual like explicit terms.
We've had the final version of the album for over a year at this point, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we got it in June of last year.
Yeah, so, say early summer. And then, we had to look for the right label to distribute it and everything. It takes a lot of time.
And filming video and just trying to get
all the promotional material
in line. So, it's...
You can't just be a musician these days. Nope. You have to be a business person. You have to be a merch person. You have to be a content creator. It's a whole thing. So, let's talk about the label that you found, or that found you, rather. They're going to be pressing... So, is this the first time any of you guys have a record out on vinyl?
I mean, Kyle and I have had two albums from Aetherius released.
John, you've got the Mesmer record as well.
Pantheus,
right.
So I'm the only one who hasn't.
Okay. I thought everyone was
popping your vinyl cherry.
But it's really cool. So let's talk about the label. What was the label again?
Beyond the Top Records.
Yeah, from North Carolina, right? Yep.
Yeah, so Stephen Funderbank, his name. It's the guitarist from Wretched and Through the Eyes of the Dead.
Oh, wow.
He started a smaller sort of boutique type he just really likes. I'm in a band with the Eyes of the Dead, Mike. And
wait, you're in another band?
I'm in a lot of bands.
Okay, we'll get back to that. So we'll
but I'd shared the album with Mike a while ago, and Mike was going to fill in for Aetherius. So Mike and I talk a lot, and we had been shopping it out to label after label, and we were either getting kind of the boilerplate like, oh, we're only looking for this type of artist or this type of artist,
sure.
or just stonewall, nothing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, hey, my buddy Steven, he has a label, and we're actually putting out the Through the Eyes of the Dead stuff on there. He would love this. He's in a black metal band as well. So he sent it to him. And then I think while we were in California earlier this year, I think it was like our last show while we were down there.
I think it was the first show when we were setting up.
Was it in Chico?
When he messaged us.
Yeah. Steven just shoots us a DM over Instagram. He's like, hey, love the album. Let's, just started talking and... and he's like, yeah, let's figure out a release schedule and get everything. I'll shoot you guys a contract when you get back. And that was that. Every day I feel like he's telling me he's listening to the album. He's like, man, this is such a good album. But
that's awesome. He believes in the artist,
He's a wonderful person.
He's not just putting it out because he sees dollar bills, he actually...
Hopefully we can make some of those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that being said, he believes in the art and everything. That being said, how many bands are you in, Kyle?
I mean...
So let's count. Aetherius.
I've got Aetherius.
Blighted Eye.
I've got Blighted Eye. I have two that I can't announce yet.
Sure. Okay, so that's four.
And then there is a studio project that I'm in with Mike from Through the Eyes of the Dead and Nick and Ryan from Aronius, who are Artisan Arrow label mates with us.
Okay.
It's called Aonosis. We have one.
So you're in five. That's five.
And then I've got a few session things that have not been released yet.
Okay.
You want to start a cover band too?
Sure.
You're in more than
You'll
me.
Probably make more money with the cover band.
Probably.
That's where the real money's made is the bar rock. So that being said, how do you differentiate when you're coming up with music? Is it ever confusing, like which riff you want to put in what band, or are the bands very different in your mind segmented?
I mean, I think the closest we get with them is lyrically between Aetherius and Blighted Eye. There's definitely a lot more similarities where, neither band's really singing about aliens. It's more in kind of that the brutality of existence and life. Aetherius goes a little bit more surreal, kind of Twilight Zone. Blighted Eye is a little bit more kind of visceral.
Yeah.
But, I mean, musically, Chris, I'm the primary songwriter for Aetherius. Chris is the primary songwriter for Blighted. So you definitely get more of like the melodic death metal influence and everything that he's come in there. And I think we all just kind of try to do our best to help, elevate the ideas that he has, the goals that we set. I think I have three songs on this record that I contributed the majority of, but, Chris has his fingers in it, and it's a very kind of collaborative back and forth process as we're working on all of it. So it kind of helps keep it from one band sounding too much like the other, but also Aetherius being kind of a weird proggy disso death tech band and melodic black metal band definitely helps separate them.
Okay. John, who band or Kyle?
Probably Kyle at this point.
Kyle? Okay.
Yeah.
John's in several bands where he's never even met the members.
Oh, yeah. I haven't met the members.
Yeah.
We've talked like on the phone and whatnot.
Collaborations over the internet and whatnot.
Yeah.
And
I think I'm in this one, got Blood Atonement, Mesmer, Dull Anebia. I think I'm only in four right now.
Wow.
Yeah, at least actively. So.
Yeah.
I've usurped you.
So let's do this. So you were talking about you know, Aetherius is more tech death and this is more melodic death.
Yeah.
Let's say the big four of tech death. Who's in the big four of tech death, in your opinions?
Necrophagist, obviously.
Necrophagist, okay.
Spawn of possession, I would think.
Yeah.
And then it starts getting a little muddier. I mean, personally, I would put, like, Obscura there.
Yeah, I'd put Obscura as well.
Oh, man.
That fourth one, though.
Yeah, I know. Like, do we get an
Gorguts?
Example of...
Oh,
yeah,
I mean, I would put Gorguts
that's exactly what I was
like,
thinking.
I feel like they're more, like... progressive and in the, like, true. The Dissodeath world, but
they definitely helped pioneer the genre.
They're my favorite of all of those. So.
Would Suffocation be considered tech death? I mean, they're brutal, but they also have a lot of tech death elements.
I mean, dude, it's
we are getting so nerdy
it's,
here.
It's split hairs at a certain point. Yeah. It's like,
I mean, they basically created Slam.
With
like Legion in Veracity Rift.
Definitely. I mean, it's such like the difference between like what is. Like a tech death band versus a prog death band is negligible, you know, because there are plenty of like Between the Buried Me riffs that are harder than a lot of tech death riffs. But, you know, then
is it technical brutal death metal or brutal technical death metal?
I mean, choose your own adventure, really.
So, okay, then let's go with this one. What is the top four, big four of mellow death bands?
Ooh.
Oh.
Insomnium.
Carcass.
At the Gates.
Just Dissection, Children of Bodom.
Dark Tranquility.
Come on, Chris. Speak up.
Soil Mellow Death.
There's too many.
I mean,
there's a lot.
Soil Work.
I guess when I think of Mellow Death, I think of like Arch Enemy, In Flames, Soil Work, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, a Dissection, I would more consider like Swedish melodic black metal, I guess.
Total.
I don't know. I'm not super huge into like the genre like naming and like... confining bands into these, like, I'm bad at that.
No, dude, if your genre is not a paragraph long, I don't care.
Like, yeah, exactly. Brutal, slamming, grindcore.
Yeah.
Versus...
I know, it's like we have to categorize, you know, bands as something, but yeah, I mean, like, the subgenre rabbit hole is like.
Subgenrification of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we? Progressive, melodic, black into death metal? That's a mouthful.
Yeah, sure. That's apt.
Certainly on the spectrum.
When writing this stuff, I've just tried to not think about genre at all and just sort of like try my best to just get out of my own way and just sort of let whatever is like in my head out.
That's when the best
metal
comes out,
yeah,
to be honest.
Just get out of your own way, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are going to be playing your record release show this coming Friday, October 4th, at the Substation with Devils of Luden and Void Dancer. And you guys have played at Substation before. What made you guys want to pick this venue again for your record release show?
I mean, it's a great venue, great location. Monty, who's going to be running stuff for that night, known him for many years back before he was when he was an annulus.
Yeah.
Like, just longtime friends. It's, you know, it's kind of the homie fest. Really, you know, we go there. It's a nice place, familiar faces, good sound, really, you know.
They treat the bands right, too.
They always
That's always a plus.
Yeah. Substation's been so good to us over the last several years, especially as we've been coming up, and they've given us, you know, when random shows have popped up, they're like, hey,
yeah.
You guys want to hop on this? And it's very supportive, so we want to give it back.
It was a no-brainer when we were thinking about where to play.
It was kind of our first choice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Very cool. So, all in all, I mean, where did you guys record this record? I'm curious about.
Well,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
So, okay. John, you recorded your drums in your house.
Yeah, I have a spare room in my house where I have kind of a little makeshift studio where I just do all my drum recording for all my bands.
Yeah.
Super easy, super low-key.
Bet your neighbors really stoked.
Oh, they love me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My neighbors, they just moved out, but they had a sign in front of their door that said, "I love my neighbor's music."
Aww. Really?
Yeah. It was probably sarcastic, but I don't know. I always thought it was funny.
Okay.
That's kind of sweet.
Shout out to the neighbors.
Yeah. So aside from that, he sent the drum tracks over to me. I did the drum editing on them, and then we did all the recording at my house for everything else.
Yeah.
We did some of the synth stuff at my house. But
yeah. I recorded all my bass at my house.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess all of our houses.
Yeah.
And at then, one point or another. They all coalesced at my house.
Cool.
And then I sent the tracks off to our mixing and mastering engineer, Alex, in Paris.
Wow. Okay. So you got who's Alex in Paris? Does he do some other of your bands?
Yeah. Not yet. But
how'd you find him?
He did White Ward. He's done their last three records.
Incredible band.
And,
yeah.
From
Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
White Ward. Yeah.
And absolutely love all of their music. And he did another band called Anachronism. That's kind of like a disso, and just really dug the sound, and he has such a varied discography of things that he'd worked on that he kind of, just hearing from it, I was like, okay, this is probably he's going to get us. He's going to understand exactly what we're going for. And it's, and you run into it with some engineers where, you know, it's like, okay, it's a gig, you know, they're going to give me some notes, so if this is the album you want to sound like, sure, I'll, you know, turn the fader to make you sound more like this band. And, you know, not to knock that, because sometimes you got to get some money. But Alex, he kind of struck me immediately as the kind of guy who's really going to invest, you know, 110% into everything he does. And
cool. He
did that and even more. Like, this record would not have been nearly as good without him.
He's like the unofficial fifth member at this point. He was instrumental, and he went above and beyond. He's
80 notes for, like, feedback and suggested ideas for, like, doing, like, additional vocal harmonies, additional, like, quad tracking for the guitar.
So he was a producer.
He has
a producing credit on this, and for very good reason.
Awesome.
And he's also just an awesome dude. And
yep.
Now a friend.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Right on. Was there any, like, were you at all, like, kind of resistant to having a producer, or were you guys stoked on the idea of having someone else listen and put some feedback?
His ideas were really good, too, so it was like, you know, we wouldn't say no to that.
I think it's one of those things where, like, you can kind of see immediately with people who are in a production capacity, whether it's going to be they're just wanting to put their stamp on something, or if they're actually thinking in terms of, like, the greater context of the album. And all of the ideas and suggestions he had, like, we came into it with an open mind, because you know, it's having that outsider perspective. Even if you don't use it, it's nice to hear, because you can kind of get an idea of how people are going to interpret what you're doing. But he came in with such unique ideas on how to approach certain aspects of recording that, you know, it would have been very stupid to be resistant to that.
Yeah, I was actually I actually really look forward to stuff like that. I want to hear, you know, somebody, especially if we're choosing to work with them in that capacity, I want to hear their ideas. Because I just want to make, you know, the songs as good as possible. And so sometimes having an outside helpful in that regard.
Yep.
So
The artwork for the album, Agony's Bespoke, which is out now. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Blighted Eye. They're going to be playing October 4th at the Substation with Devils of Luden and Void Dancer. But when you look at the album cover, it's beautiful. Who did the album cover?
Kalen Stokerman.
Awesome.
He also did
our logo and sigil.
I love
that.
He was definitely the first person up for that. And again, also just an amazing person to work with. And, you know, like I told him the concept of that album and, you know, kind of what we were going for. And we had lots of exchanges on as far as, like, ideas and stuff. And it was a very fun person to work with.
Yep.
So it's a bit of a hot topic in the world of extreme metal, but with the rise of AI, what are your guys' thoughts on, you know, kind of like legendary bands using AI?
Loaded question there.
You know, like bands like Deicide, I think Nile had some.
Pestilence.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like
you can kind of catch it and you can tell.
I would say, just speaking from my own point of view, not, you know, those bands can do whatever they want. I don't personally like it. And I wouldn't do that. I like interacting with somebody and bouncing ideas off. You know, it's a little strange to me that, like, what we're doing is an art form, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that we would kind of subvert another artist's sort of ability to create and, you know, make an income for themselves when we're also reliant on that. You know, I mean, there's AI music. You know, so it's just, like, it's interesting to me that some artists are doing that.
It's also funny that, it's kind of weird that the few big bands that have done it that would really stood out are the bands that you think would be able to afford it. You know?
Right, yeah. Right.
I mean, like, legendary acts.
As far as
think
the
would
cost of, like, what for an album, that's, like, not that high up on the...
I totally understand the allure in terms of time and money, but I feel you're definitely sacrificing something if you're going to go that route, because we've seen enough at this point where you start noticing the patterns, and like, so it becomes really easily identifiable, like, oh, that looks like AI artwork, and you know, just
and if you can tell that it's AI artwork, sort of, it's kind of like CGI. It's like, if I can tell that it's CGI, it's kind of not
breaks doing the immersion.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of not doing its job if you can tell how, you know, what was
there. I think that it'll 10-15 years from now, it'll be one of those things where it looks really dated. Like, if you look back on a, like, a MySpace metalcore flyer days, it looks very, and like, at the time we thought of, then you look back, you're like, it's very dated, or even the t-shirt design.
Like, it was made in Microsoft Paint.
Exactly. And now it's going to look like that, you know, 10 years in advance. Who knows where AI is going to go? It's probably going to get way harder to tell whether is something.
Which
is
kind of scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I work in Jason Field for my normal job, and, you know, primarily like tech-based AI is stuff that we see on a regular basis from companies. And it's got to a point now where, I mean, you can effectively train it on like a small sample to study like style, tone, format, and all that. And it can spit out something that's a good approximation. But, you know, if you're trying to... You still need to have that human element to it to make it viable, especially if you're doing things for like SEO or SEM type work. And I think with like with tech stuff, I'm a little more forgiving. AI generating your lyrics, I'm going to take them. But for visual artwork, I think just kind of, you know, building off what Chris said, you know, we're all artists inherently, as pretentious as that is. But, you know, you're effectively furthering the commodification of another art form that has been intrinsically connected. You look back on like bands from the 80s, when you were growing up, the thing that drew us to a lot of albums was really sick artwork.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you'd like Dan Seagrave painting or something and be like, oh, crap, I want to go check out this album. This is going to be awesome. And you're off of that, and you're kind of sticking it to people who are in the same like, streaming's already kind of screwed over a lot of bands for making it like a financially tenable thing to do. And you're not really helping your own at that point.
And I, you know, I don't want to like put the guy, his finances out there, but my friends did an album with Dan, but did a Dan Seagrave album, album, and it was like $800 to $900. Yeah. It's affordable. I mean, that's this was like 10 years ago. Oh, but that being said, that's very affordable for the fact that you have forever a Dan Seagrave artwork.
Yeah, that's a permanent thing you've got. And I mean, it is really just like a drop in the pail compared to like the recording, the mixing and mastering cost, the distribution.
Oh,
my God, we were looking at getting vinyl by ourselves before we found Steven. And just getting like 100 very basic plain black vinyl was over $400.
Yep.
And that was with nothing special. And it's like, this is...
And you're like, now these better sell.
Yeah.
We've got splatter vinyl, you know, and all kinds of...
To go back to it, I mean, it's like the price that we paid Kalen, like, you know, it's like, I'm happy to do it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's anytime.
Yeah, he's such a good artist and a cool person, so it's like, yeah, I want to support him and get sick artwork.
I'll say it so you guys don't have to. We are just, you know, a year away from Rings of Saturn putting out an AI song. And they will be the first band to do it. I'm calling it.
I will headbutt an active table saw.
I would take
that
bet.
That's the thing. Absolutely. I don't understand. It's like, I don't want AI to... make my art. I want it to wash my dishes.
Yeah, exactly. I want it to help clean my underwear. I want it to, you know what I mean?
So I can do more art.
Yeah.
Do the boring, monotonous things.
Yeah, like the things that it's like good at.
Exactly. We are talking with Blighted Eye. Of course, they're going to be playing their album release show October 4th at the Substation with Devils of Luden and Void Dancer. This is a Northwest radio show.
Yeah.
I believe I've probably asked you guys this question before, but let's just round it out with another time. So, favorite Northwest, it could be current or of all time, favorite Northwest bands?
3 Inches of Blood.
3 Inches of Blood.
Nevermore.
Nevermore.
Yes.
Yeah. Alice in Chains.
Definitely. Awesome.
Agalloch.
Yes.
That's hard. There's so many bands.
Come on, John.
Oh, everyone's looking at me now.
We all gave one, man.
I was thinking Alice in Chains, then Chris said it.
Okay.
I mean, Soundgarden too. Really, like, there's a lot of like the early Seattle grunge stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all children of the '90s.
Even like the local scene itself right now, like alone is just incredibly on fire. It's just crazy good.
Yep. Yeah.
Just, you know, Zoff.
Zoff is awesome.
Super talented. Absolutely.
Veritera. Oxygen Destroyer is making moves.
Not. Probably the heaviest band I've ever heard in my life.
You guys toured with them. Yeah, you played with Knot. Don't they only have two members?
Yeah, just Julia and Tyler.
Wow.
One of the few two pieces I've seen live where they still sound like massive.
Like a neutron star just collapsing in on itself.
Wow.
It's insane.
If you're watching them and you don't have like a stink face on, you're not doing it right.
Oh, okay. Perpetual stink face for sure.
Stink face. I like it. So what are you guys looking to do? Obviously, you guys are all pretty busy. Do you think Blighted Eye will do a little bit more touring?
Yeah. That's kind of the plan right now for next year, is to really just focus on Blighted. Aetherius is – I'm finishing up an album for that. So
cool.
Ben and Scott got to get working on that as well soon. So
get our parts recorded.
The focus is just to get Blighted out there and do as much as we can. We've talked to a few friends about getting something put together for like a West Coast thing. Steven has talked about flying us out east to do something with his band, Abyssal Frost. So we've got a few things that are kind of on the back burner right now, finessing those as we go. Obviously, you've got to do everything like 6 to 8 months ahead of time
to
get anywhere, not, you know, a little tiny shack down the street.
Yeah.
Yes, that is long story short. Yes, trying to tour a bunch next year, hopefully.
Awesome. Well, again, congratulations on the record. It's awesome.
Thank you.
It is called Agonies Bespoke. You can pick it up at the record release show October 4th. That's this coming Friday at the Substation with Devil's Illusion and Void Dancer. You'll have the CDs. Will you have the vinyl?
We will. Vinyl is going to be here on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. Pick up the copies of the record. Hear it for yourself. Thank you, guys. Blighted Eye. Catch them this Friday, October 4th at Substation. It's Metal Shop. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.